relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
The theme for today has been gaslighting. When somebody tries to feed you information that will make you doubt your own senses so that you end up thinking that you're the crazy one when in fact they have been lying to you. But there's another thing we could discuss, which is, of course, related to gaslighting, and that's the definition of insanity. Allegedly, apocryphally, I think, associated with Albert Einstein, and the definition goes, doing the same thing again and again and again and expecting a different result was his definition of insanity. And it looks as if the GOP are doing exactly that. Let's go deeper into the issues with the author of Trumponomics. He is one of the founders of the Club for Growth and a former economist with the Heritage Foundation, Stephen Moore. Welcome to America First.
Hey, Sebastian. Good to be with you. By the way, I do feel that way a lot of times. Like, as everywhere, am I insane or is everybody around me insane?
Right, right.
But I live inside the Beltway, so.
So talk to us. Give us just a small selection of adjectives, of words that you could use to describe this latest so-called infrastructure bill.
Well, you know, I was thinking, you know, when you were saying the definition of insanity, doing something over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And when I first, I'm going to just give you a quick history lesson. When I first came to Washington in mid-'80s, Ronald Reagan was president. I was proud to work for 1 year for Reagan in his budget office. And I remember one time late in his presidency, you know, the Republicans wanted to do a deal with the Democrats on the budget, you know, the way they always want to make these dirty deals. And I remember Reagan, you know, sat back and, you know, they said, oh, you know, they're going to promise you that you're going to get this and that. And Reagan sat back and said, oh, you know, I'm still waiting for those $3 of spending cuts for every dollar of tax increase they agreed to 5 years ago. And of course, they never happened. And my point is that how many times do we fall into this trap of expecting the Democrats to negotiate in good faith, to keep their bargain? They never do. And this one lasted, about 9 minutes. About 9 minutes after Biden shakes hands with the Republican negotiators, Mitt Romney and the others, he sprints off to Bernie Sanders and said, don't worry, we're still going to do the big, massive tax increase, and don't worry, we're going to have our $2 trillion human infrastructure bill. And then Republicans are like, wow, we got double-crossed. And I thought, Sebastian, what did they think was going to happen?
But first things first, Mitt Romney negotiating? For Republicans after Trump presidency? What planet are we on?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a problem. And look, Susan Collins, and by the way, I like Susan Collins. I do like her. I don't always agree with her, but I think she's, you know, for Maine, she's about as good a senator as we're going to get. But they got snookered. And here's the thing. That bill is terrible. It's $1.2 trillion, which we Republicans should be talking about cutting thing now. COVID is over. Trump conquered COVID with the vaccine. It's done. It's over. We don't have to be continuing to spend trillions and trillions of dollars. Did you see this latest thing, Sebastian? 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations paid for by Uncle Sam. Now, I don't think the United States government built gasoline stations around the country. Why does the federal government have to build electric charging stations for Teslas?
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely. So talk to us about what this bill really should be called, because it's not infrastructure, is it, Steve?
Well, I'll just give you one example. One of the major expenditure items in this bill, it's between $30 and $40 billion. I forget the exact amount, but that's a lot of money, $30 to $40 billion. Do you know what it's for? The Internal Revenue Service. The Republicans, the idiot Republicans, agreed to the Biden plan to hire 75,000 new IRS agents. That's the size of a medium-sized city, 75,000 new IRS agents to harass conservative donors and conservative taxpayers. And by the way, you may think I'm making this up, but how short are the Republican memories? Do you remember Lois Lerner?
Yes. I mean, all I know is that New York is the biggest police force in the world, and that's 50,000. But the IRS needs another 75,000 agents.
It's unbelievable.
Let's cut to the chase, Steve. You've lived in the swamp. You've been fighting the good fight for decades. You advised candidate Trump. You advised President Trump, the vice president. Just put me out of my misery. Why is the GOP doing this again, Stephen?
I don't know, but here's what I'm going to tell you. I just wrote a piece with some of the other conservative leaders, and we're going to send this to Congress probably Thursday or Friday. And it basically says this, Sebastian. If the Republicans, Biden did the Republicans a favor, right? He did a favor by showing that he was double-crossing them. It only took 9 minutes. Usually it takes 9 weeks. But that gives Republicans out to say, okay, no deal. You were double-dealing us here. We're not going to go along with this. So if they're going to have an infrastructure deal, here are the four conditions, and I wonder if you would agree with these. Number one, no more money for the IRS. We should be cutting the IRS agency, especially given the abuses that have happened there. Number two, if we're going to have an infrastructure bill, it must include authorization for the Keystone XL pipeline, which is one of the most important parts of our infrastructure, our energy infrastructure. And by the way, Sebastian, the Keystone XL pipeline costs nothing. It's free because the private sector will pay for it. Number three, no Green New Deal. No Green New Deal in an infrastructure bill, right? And number four, any additional spending that is in this bill should be paid for by taking that out of the money that we already spent on that $1.9 trillion spending bill that we didn't need in the first place 3 months ago.
Look, Stephen, I love it, but a letter or an article signed by real conservatives, what difference does it make? Who's going to pick up those 3 points you made inside the GOP establishment and say, this is our bargaining position?
Well, you can lead the horse to water, right? But you can't make them drink.
Right.
And so we're going to try to lead that horse to water, and hopefully they'll come to their senses. Because, look, I've been talking to conservatives all week. People are angry about this bill. I mean, we are now partners in crime with Biden in his $20 trillion increase in the debt. We should be opposing every inch of this, not making deals with him.
All right, let's you do your thing, write that piece.
Am I going crazy? Or
no, you are a sane man in an insane world. Do that. Let's see if any member of the GOP has a spine to pick it up. Let's talk in the last few minutes with the author of Trumponomics. Follow him right now at Stephen PH, Stephen Moore on Twitter. What if you weren't living in an insane world? If a compass mentis, non-senile, non-radical were in the White House, what should, just give us the three things America should be doing now as it's trying to crawl out of the China virus pandemic?
Well, number one, we should be slashing government spending. We don't need it anymore. The crisis is over. Just like after World War II, we built up our military, but then when World War II was over, we went back to what it was before. We cut government spending. So the single most important thing would be to cut spending. The second most important thing is to make sure that we do not decapitate the American energy industry. The energy industry is so crucial to the United States. And anyone who believes that we're going to be able to power a $22 trillion first-rate world economy with windmills is smoking something. So we have to rebuild our energy infrastructure. And number three, I would love to see a flat tax. You know, let's just get our rate down to the lowest rate we can, outcompete China, and take China seriously. They're laughing behind. Remember when Trump used to say, you know, our adversaries are laughing behind our back? Don't you feel like that's what they're doing with Biden in the White House?
Oh, my gosh. They can't stop. It's a belly laugh. They're grabbing their stomachs. They're laughing so heartily.
Yeah, I mean, look at last week, Sebastian. The Chinese, I give them credit. They were, you know, a bout of honesty. They said, we have no interest in the Paris Climate Accord. They said, we're not interested in reducing carbon emissions. We're going to go out and beat the United States. Meanwhile, John Kerry, you know, who's the climate czar, is running around the world saying, yes, China's in on our deal. And China's saying, no, we're not. I mean, how naive is this to think that China is going to, you know, ruin their economy? So we're going to jump off the cliff and hope that they jump off after we do?
Just that one thing. I'm so grateful for you mentioning that $300 million for the IRS so they can have some stormtroopers, jackbooted thugs to do more of what Lois Lerner did under the Obama administration, and the GOP agreed to it. We got to kill this bill. We got to kill it now. Follow this man, Stephen Moore, on Twitter, author of Trumponomics. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios, streaming on Facebook, available on Rumble. Subscribe today, rumble.com/SebGorka. Relief Factor. Pain relief that's real. Pain relief that works. How do I know that? Because I take it every single day, just like Debron from Massachusetts, who says the following. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. What an incredible story. That could be you. That should be you. Order the 3-week quick starter pack right now. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Joan Jett, she's special. It's official, guys. President Biden has declared war on the small business owners of America. In his first 150 days, he's pushed for a massive tax increase on small businesses. There's his fake infrastructure plan, which is a tax hike. And then, of course, the mandating of a $15 minimum wage. Don't forget the Green Deal. All of these target small business owners. So we have to push back. Join teams with the Job Creators Network. They're looking for a few good men and women to join their Small Business Advocacy Advisor Program. They'll train you, help you place op-eds in local newspapers and get on TV on local news stations. Their Cracker Jack team will prep you to be a leader to fight for small businesses that keep America going. If you own a business, if you want to join the fight, go to joinjcn.com. That's joinjcn.com today. These are the people that built America, and we need to support them. That's joinjcn.com today. Okay. The gaslighting continues. And it's, again, that lady who just likes to circle back. There is a White House response, and she's actually talking in the name of the man who bears the title President of the United States. This is Jen Psaki on Gwen Berry refusing to respect the national anthem of the United States. Cut 8.
This weekend, Gwen Berry, who hopes to represent the United States as an Olympian on the hammer throwing events, won a bronze medal at the trials, and then she turned her back on the flag while the anthem played. Does President Biden think that is appropriate behavior for someone who hopes to represent Team USA?
Well, Peter, I haven't spoken to the president specifically about this, but I know he's incredibly proud to be an American and has great respect for the anthem and all that it represents, especially for our men and women serving in uniform all around the world. He would also say, of course, that part of that pride in our country means recognizing there are moments where we are, as a country, haven't lived up to our highest ideals. And it means respecting the right of people granted to them in the Constitution to peacefully protest.
It's so weird. It looks like she's actually reading. It looks like she's looking down at notes. She has to read notes that say, Biden's a patriot. Tell them he likes America. And then later, but peaceful protest is okay. I mean, this is the cretinous individual who needs talking points. President Biden likes America. Well, you bloody hope so, given that he bears the title of president. It's kind of part of the job description, isn't it? Oh, I prefer Germany, but I'm the president of America. And then this pablum, this empty verbiage, but peaceful protest, that's important. Hang on a second. She wants to be on the U.S. team for the Olympics. Not the hate U.S. team. Have you seen that video of a pole vaulter at the games? Some kind of games? Amazing. And this, somebody tweeted it out saying, this is what patriotism looks like. And he's going at 100 miles an hour, about to put the pole into the socket to jump over the fence. And he hears the national anthem start playing, and it's like the retro blasters just fire, and he puts the brakes on and stops himself just as he's about to plant the pole vault. And what does he do? Turns around and snaps up straight to salute America, the greatest nation on God's green earth. I mean, what is the level of cognitive dissonance? It's not even cognitive dissonance. It's too fancy a phrase. What is the level of psychosis, psychopathy, the level of mental retardation of a person who busts their physical limits in a sport to compete in an Olympic trial as a citizen of a nation who then disrespects when that nation's anthem is played to recognize their success in the trials? It's truly a sickness. And the fact that she's trying to backpedal now, oh, I didn't really hate America. Oh, yeah, really? Because you love it so much, you turn your back on it? One of the saddest things is the woman who beat her in that trial, who stood on the podium respectfully, she broke a world record for the hammer throw. In the trial, she broke a world record. Who's talking about that? Nobody, because of this egotistical little putz. Let's talk about what America really means. This video was sent to me by my friend Brett Smith, who's been a guest on the show. And this is from a Vietnamese state rep in Arizona at a council meeting. And it's powerful. Listen to Quang Nhung on his experience of America and his experience of communism. Cut 7.
I just got irritated, so I came over here and pressed the white button. Is it okay if I say white button? You know, I just recently heard somebody said that white nationalism, or actually, communism is not the enemy, but white nationalism. So let me tell you something about white nationalism. White nationalism didn't drown 250,000 Vietnamese in the South China Sea. The communists did. White nationalism did not execute 86,000 South Vietnamese at the fall of Saigon. Communists did. White nationalism did not put me here. Communism did. So don't take it lightly. Don't mock me. Don't mock what I go through in life. It's rough. I lost most of my cousins, my family members, due to communism. If we don't stand up to teach communism to our children, we'll lose this country. So, sir, don't mock me.
That's the left. They're mocking him. A man who's lost family members to communism. Murdered. Murdered by communists. And he's here. Why? Because we are the greatest nation on God's earth. But they laugh at him. The people who want socialism, who think Che Guevara is so cool, who think that socialism failed 40 times in 40 countries because reasons. But this time, in America, we'll get it right. And it'll be a paradise. A paradise with gulags, with labor camps. Not cancel culture, but canceling your life. Because that's what socialism does to those who disagree with it. Not on our watch. Not as long as we have breath in our bodies. Next, another immigrant who loves this country as much as he does and I do. The one and only, Dinesh D'Souza.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. Somebody else who knows the president very, very well is our friend, your friend, Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, the man who makes a good night's sleep possible. How? Because his pillows never lose their shape, never get hot, guaranteed for 10 years. That's why he sold 51 million of them. They're trying to cancel him right now. 25 corporations boycotting his products. Let's support him. Go straight to the source, MyPillow.com. Use my name and Mike's going to give you, because you're a friend of this program, up to 66% off. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. Support this great man. Call them on 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. Send a message to the fascist cancel culture leftist. Somebody else who knows a lot about cancel culture is one of our newest members of the Salem Stable. Yes, member of our faculty. His podcast is rocketing up the charts. He is, of course, Dinesh D'Souza. Follow his podcast. Subscribe today. Dinesh, welcome back to America First.
Seb, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So there's like one newspaper left in America. I think that's about the number. It's called the New York Post. It was founded by one of our founders, by Alexander Hamilton. And they quoted you over this Olympic tryout controversy. And this is the woman we've been discussing today, Gwen Berry. Perhaps one of the most egregious things is the person who actually won the trial broke a world's record. But nobody's talking about that. They're talking about this person, Gwen Berry. Talk to us about your tweet and what the New York Post liked about it.
Well, I just think that we're going to see a lot of this kind of thing, and by that I mean left-wingers having now become habituated to desecrating national symbols. They've pulled down monuments. They insult the flag. They turn away from the anthem. And we've got the Olympics coming up. Now, the U.S. Olympic Committee apparently decided to let its athletes do certain forms of protest, sort of social justice type protest, not any types of protest. And of course, right-wing types of protests are not allowed. The protests that are allowed have to be oriented toward, quote, inclusion of various groups and minorities. So there's a clear tilt. And I think this athlete is a good example of someone who sort of got the early message and is putting it into effect. I think it's, you know, for people like me, it's very sad because I used to watch the Olympics going back to the 1976 Olympics in India, where I was a, you know, a 12-year-old kid. And this has been something I love to watch. I'm a fan of the movie Chariots of Fire. But suddenly we now have a potentially politicized Olympics in which we're going to constantly have to recoil as people make political statements as they run and jump and hurdle.
And your reaction to the ultimate wokeification of politics back home with the NFL saying, we're gay, Dinesh?
Well, this is so pathetic.
Is that going to be a popular move, Dinesh, amongst football fans?
You can't imagine. And so what you have to realize is, you know, sometimes when you find that a corporation is behaving in a manner that insults its own consumers, you have to ask why they're doing it. And I think the answer is that they are playing, obviously, to a very different type of audience. It's not the audience that's watching on TV, because if you had a vote on that audience, it's pretty clear how that one would come out. They're answering to a political community that has insinuated itself into the management ranks of the NFL and has enough clout that they believe that this is, quote, the not only the right thing to do, but the only way to go. And so they're willing to antagonize a certain amount of viewers in the belief that it's more important to satisfy this kind of elevated and elite constituency.
And your stance, since we started the conversation regarding the Olympics, your stance or your reaction to those conservatives who say we should be boycotting an Olympics that involves China?
I guess my view on that is no. I take a fairly, I mean, if you think about things like athletics and comedy and entertainment, it's very hard on the one hand for us to say that these things should be above politics. We don't like it when the left wing jumps in there and tries to make, you know, a running race something, a symbolism of racial justice. Well, similarly, except in extreme circumstances, I don't see the reason to cancel the Olympics. There's always something going on around the world. And the Olympics are in Tokyo. Japan is one of our allies. And so just because China's participating in the Olympics, I mean, think about it. For decades, if not generations, we took part in the Olympics. The Soviet Union participated. Lots of other countries participated. Now, we did boycott, the 1980 Olympics.
Correct.
In protest of a specific action by the Soviet Union, its invasion of Afghanistan. But that was, in fact, an extreme circumstance.
All right, we're talking to Dinesh D'Souza, member of the Salem faculty. Follow him at Dinesh D'Souza. Subscribe to his podcast. He'll be back with us momentarily. We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
We are seeing these headlines about percentage increases. Now, I want to say that any amount of harm is unacceptable and too much. But I also want to make sure that this hysteria, you know, that this doesn't drive a hysteria and that we look at these numbers in context.
Yes, the gaslighting continues. It's been our theme for today. We're going to discuss it with our good friend Dinesh D'Souza. But first things first, are you able to always provide for your family? The next attack may not be a cyber attack against the Eastern Seaboard's gas supply. It may actually hit our food supply. Will you be ready? There's only 3 days worth of backroom supplies at a local grocery. What are you going to do if they run out of food? Do what I did. Go with the best, the most experienced supplier of long-term storage emergency food. They're My Patriot Supply. Just one of their four-week supplies is enough to get you going. I've ordered several myself, and they're delicious, by the way. I tried the mac and cheese, and it's superb. Never be caught out saying to your kids, your wife, I'm sorry, There was no food at the stores, and you're going to have to go to bed hungry. More than 40,000 four- and five-star reviews. You can trust My Patriot Supply, and right now you'll get $50 off your first four-week emergency food kit if you go to preparewithgorka.com. Be always prepared. Be able to support and feed your family. Go to preparewithgorka.com to get $50 off. That's preparewithgorka.com. I cheated in the break because Dinesh is just so incredibly prolific, whether it's books, whether it's movies. I asked him, what are you most proud of? And he told me he's so proud of his book, Illiberal Education, and then his movie, America, Imagine a World Without Her. I don't want to imagine it. My parents escaped a communist dictatorship. Dinesh, let me ask you, in the last 2 weeks, we've had incredible footage of mothers, of teachers standing up, pushing up against the bigotry, the racism of critical race theory, standing up to the school boards. Is this something that we should take heart from? Is this significant, or can this be crushed as well?
No, I think it's very significant, and in fact, it's one of the silver linings of COVID, I believe. You know, the left has been so sly about injecting this indoctrination into the classroom. And normally parents dispatch your kids off to school or your son or daughter off to college. And you really don't know a whole lot about what goes on over there, what goes on inside the classroom. But of course, under COVID, they've had to take the classroom online. And so parents kind of pop in on their kids and they go, wait, what? What did I just hear? And, you know, so suddenly all of this stuff has been brought into the home, into earshot, you may say, of the parents, and they can hardly believe it. So it's a late reaction. You wish it had come earlier. You wish the parents were more plugged into what the kids were being taught, or maybe it's more accurate to say mistaught. But at least the parents are now kind of on it, and they're starting to scream about it. And now suddenly what happens with the teachers on the left is that they suddenly go, oh, no, we're not really doing that. You know, it's a little bit like with defund the police. Once it becomes immensely popular, the left suddenly goes, oh, no, we're not for defunding the police. In fact, your side is for defunding the police. So they start running away from these ideas. And you know that when they do that, that their side is in trouble.
Yeah, they are gaslighting. Now, you are the exemplar. You're the odd man out. You're the cuckoos in the nest. Because of all the conservatives who've tried to take back the culture and written bad movies, banged their audience over the head with a kind of didactic message, yours are actual good stories with conservative content. Will you talk to us, given the fact that we don't have political power, every institution except radio is in the hands of the left, what will it take for conservatives to have the requisite impact on the culture? How do we generate 100 Dinesh D'Souzas? Do we have to have conservative film schools? What's the answer?
Yeah, the answer, I think, Seb, is all of that. We need conservative comedy. We need conservative movie schools, but we also need conservative schools. We also need conservative online universities that are offering high quality content at a low cost. And all of this is going to require our side. See, our side right now is bankrolling their side.
Yes.
That's because we go to Disney. We watch their movies, we have Netflix subscriptions, we subscribe at their stores, and they turn around and use those resources against us. We often think it's sufficient to be critics of culture, but at the same time, we're consuming the bad culture that we're critics of. And so I think that we need to do, this will take a little bit of time, but begin an exit out of liberal culture. And that will automatically create a massive market for conservative culture. Now, the supply side also needs to be good. You can't make horrible movies and expect people to go to the theater and come watch them. So, I think the combination of creativity from the supply side and consumer demand from the demand side will produce really an alternative culture. You can almost call it a counterculture that will really be an effective way for us to express not just our political viewpoints, but also our musical and artistic creativity as well.
Where do you stand on boycotts, Dinesh? I met a great patriot at the weekend who said, that's it. You know, 2 years ago, he cut the cord. Never, ever since then has he ordered anything on Amazon, for example. If you're saying we shouldn't fund those who wish to destroy us, do we start boycotting?
Well, boycotts are typically good when they can be, when they're genuinely effective. The left, by the way, doesn't do real boycotts. They do pretend boycotts. And what I mean is, very often for a corporation, they're more scared about some organization calling, saying, we represent 7 million people, and we're all going to be boycotting Target unless you install gay bathrooms. And Target goes, oh my gosh, there's going to be a boycott that's coming. So that is much more effective than one guy saying, listen, I've been going to Target for the last 25 years. I'm now not going to go to Target anymore. They don't know about you. They don't care about one individual not going to Target. So the point is, you achieve a boycott not just by individually saying, I'm canceling my Disney Plus, so I'm not going to do this anymore. It's much more effective to organize a group, and then on behalf of the group, you start making calls to these companies, basically saying, we're members of the Concerned Citizens Against Pornography. Right. We're members of this, and we demand that you stop doing that, because if you don't, we're going to have 100 people outside your store tomorrow screaming at you. So that's the kind of stuff that they worry about.
Time to get organized. Listen to this man. Follow him on Twitter, Dinesh D. D'Souza. Follow him. Get his book, Illiberal Education, and watch America Imagine a World Without Her. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Homeowners who have not taken advantage of today's low interest rates are overpaying on their mortgage. Make sure that's not you. It just takes a 10-minute call to American Financing, America's home for home loans. Take advantage of a free, no-obligation mortgage review. There's no pressure, no upfront or hidden fees. It really is a quick and easy way to see if you can add hundreds, maybe even $1,000 back to your monthly budget, all without starting your term over. That's right. You can choose any term, 10 years and over. But you've got to call American Financing, and you've got to do it now before the rates rise. Call 855-581-5828. That's 855-581-5828, or visit AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, NMLS 182334, MLSConsumerAccess.org. Go to AmericanFinancing.net.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Job Creators Network.
Google. A Wall Street Journal reporter asked the head of Google's health division, notice that they don't do autofill searches for coronavirus lab leak the way they do it for any other question. And the guy said, well, we want to make sure the search isn't leading people down pathways that we would find to be not authoritative information. Well, you were wrong, Google. And Facebook, right. We don't know. The reason why we want you is because we're checking on this. He said, we want to ensure the first thing users see is information from the CDC, the WHO. That's who I'm checking on. The WHO has been very corrupt, and the CDC has been wrong about a lot of shit. This is outrageous that I can't look this information up, and now they're doing it with this drug ivermectin. They threw Brett Weinstein off YouTube, or almost. He's one strike away. YouTube should not be telling me what I can see about ivermectin. Ivermectin isn't a registered Republican. It's a drug. Well, I don't know if it works or not, and a lot of other doctors don't either.
You see, I wanted to play that with to you because, you know, it's an important point that elements of the left are waking up. But it's Bill Maher, who is a truly heinous individual on so many different levels. And even the broader point he makes is scuppered, is sunk by his last comment. He says, what is YouTube, what is Google doing censoring news now that we considered to be a conspiracy as leftists a year ago? And why are they censoring information about an established drug like ivermectin? And what did he say? It's not like ivermectin's a registered Republican, which means what? You'd be fine censoring. You are fine censoring Republicans. But that's the level of the gaslighting. That is the depth of the hypocrisy. They get annoyed, but only within their little bubble when it comes to true, unfettered access to information. That is what they are most afraid of. As with all totalitarian individuals, their biggest threat is unfettered access to information. Whether you're a Democrat like Bill Maher, whether you're Nancy Pelosi, whether you're Jack Dorsey, or whether you're Xi Jinping, the average person accessing information is the biggest fear you have. Let's post it right now. It's our most popular article. The 14 sources we rely upon, the 14 most trustworthy sources of information on the internet. You can read it right now, that list, with a description of each source on our Twitter and Facebook pages. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Subscribe to our Rumble channel, rumble.com/Seb Gorka. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And now, more than ever, as they try to provoke you every single day, stay frosty.